Amen. Why don't you open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, and I'm not going to repeat the sermon you heard last night. Amen. Well, that wouldn't be a bad sermon to do, but I appreciate what John preached a little while ago, Lord of the Harvest, and I want to try to stay a little bit with that if I can. There's a cycle. There's a cycle in everything. There's a cycle in the harvest. The Scripture talks about planting and watering and reaping. Amen. There's a cycle. And so there's a cycle in relationship to grace. In the Old Testament, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I'm thankful for the day I found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. In the midst of a world that's wicked. And all I got to do is plug this thing on up here and that's it. Amen. Well, we got shifted over. We okay? Good. In a world that's wicked, Noah found grace. But if God just look over the battlements of heaven and say, I like his hair color. Did he say, well, that guy, he really spit shines that bald head. I'd say, I like the way he takes care of that. You know. No. You know better than that. And the New Testament answers it, and it's found in Hebrews chapter 11. I want you to look at it with me for a moment. This is verse 7. You can stand for the reading of God's Word, if you like. Let's stand in honor of the Word of God. And this is verse 7, Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark, the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be here. I thank you for Brother Hall and his church and, Lord, the radio outreach. And, Father, we do pray for those that are by the radio that, Lord, you'd lead what's being preached here these days to somebody's heart to save a soul, to help some saint of God. And, Father, help us here today in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to do this with me. I want you to look at the cycle that's given to us in the New Testament. Number one, by faith, Noah being warned of God. I've got a question to ask you. Has God ever warned you? I mean, has God ever knocked on your door? Has He dialed your phone number? Is there a time in your life you know, not somebody told you, but you know God was dealing with you? It wasn't too far back, actually 1978, first song that the Lord let me write, Jesus Stood Still. It's not the first song, but the first song He let me write that I got to sing in the pulpit there at Tabernacle was Jesus Stood Still. And there's a lady there in the choir, a member of the church, Miss Mamie. Her husband wrote country music for a living. And Miss Mamie came to me after that. And she said, I want you to come to my house and I want you to spend some time with my husband. He's lost. And so I went over there and met him. And Dale was real kind. I mean, he'd get out his guitar and he'd listen to some of the things I was, you know, Lord laid on my heart. And he'd give me some pointers about this and that. And we got to where we spent a couple hours a week. For weeks that way, and a little over a year. And I got a call one morning about 7 o'clock. I was at school, and he called me up. He said, I had a visitor at 2 o'clock this morning. And I said, okay, Dale. And he said, the Lord got a hold of me. And he said, I knew if I didn't turn to Him now, I wouldn't have a chance to do that. Right. Oh, he got saved, got to church, amen. Do you know a time? Now, I'm not going to ask for testimony. But if you think about in your life, the dumb things you got involved with, maybe somebody else got you into a situation, or maybe you just got yourself in that situation. But if we'd be honest with ourselves, there are things that have transpired that could have cost us our health. It cost us some money. Could have cost us our reputation. Could have cost us our life. Could have cost us our marriage. And sometimes we have this idea, well, you know, alcohol. I think about a missionary we met years back, and he's serving, he and his wife down in Brazil. But I think about this missionary years back. He said before he got saved, alcohol got a hold of him. And it ruined his life. It cost him his marriage, cost him his job. His wife threw him out. He was living with somebody else. Somehow he wound up in a church service. and got under conviction of God. And he came down to the altar and he cried out to the Lord and received Jesus Christ as his Savior. Well, he went back to this apartment he was living, somebody else's house. You know, he's living in that apartment. And he opened the refrigerator door. He said he looked at that stuff in the refrigerator. And he said, that's what cost him his marriage. That's what cost him his job. And he started pouring that stuff down the drain. Nobody told him. He just started pouring it down the drain. The owner, his roommate came home. He's about finished. Most of the stuff in the refrigerator wasn't his. It belonged to the fellow on the apartment. He didn't go to the church service. He didn't get under conviction of God. And he didn't get saved. And the fellow lost his anyway. But what told him to pour out all that liquor? You know, I know, the Spirit of God.
That's right.
For the grace of God. Now, sometimes people will say, well, I've drunk all my life and I'm from a family that they're a bunch of boozers. Thank God for those who have gotten saved in my family, but they drink. They drink. They'll put a bar in their home. They drink. But you have no guarantee that you're going to live past the first time. Most of this crowd that I'm looking at are familiar with Dr. Seitler and familiar with his grandson Benny, or the Carper, Dr. Carper these days. But I was out behind the church, several men, and Dr. Seitler, he getting ready to go to a meeting. You know how he would? He'd put books in his car and somebody else would drive him. And they'd go on and Brother Benny, he and the family had decided they want to do something for Dr. Seitler. They got him a 55 Packard, I believe it was a 55. Fixed it up so he could drive it around town, and he'd drive it from the house to the church and to visit the hospital. And Brother Benny was going to drive him that night to his meeting. And he asked his papa, he said, let's take the Packard. And I watched Dr. Seitler, he just shook his head. He said, no, we're going to take the church car. We're not going to take the Packard. And Benny convinced him, by the grace of God, that Packard would make it there and back. And they went to the meeting. And they were coming back through Spartanburg County. And a teenage girl in a Ford Pinto was coming down the curve on the wrong side of the road about 60 miles an hour. And Benny said he tried his best to get that car off that road. And she caught the corner of that bumper. And I believe, folks, if they had been in the church car, there had been three people killed in that accident. But God got a hold of Benny's heart, take that Packard. And when that Ford Pinto hit that bumper, that Packard didn't give. It didn't give. It's just a solid piece of steel. Somebody at a graduation party had gotten her to drink alcohol the first time in her life. And it was the last time in her life. The wages of sin is death. And there may be folks who are, you know, getting away with or appear to be getting away with, but nobody is getting away with anything in this life. And thank God for the grace of God that somehow got a hold of our hearts to stop us before death or something else took place. But have you ever known the warning of God in your life? Look at the second item down here. Being warned of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Have you ever been moved by God? Or I could put it this way. What does it take to move us? What does it take to move us? Sometimes I think the favorite song is, I shall not be moved. Amen. We come home at the end of the day, and I know folks, hey, some folks work 60 hours a week or more, and you come home at the end of an evening and you want to sit down in that chair, you've got that lounge chair, you get that glass of tea, you've got the television set up someplace, and maybe a newspaper, and you sit back and you are there, and your wife comes and says, would you do this or would you do that? And you say, not now, don't bother me, not right now, I'll do it tomorrow. Kids come and ask you something, and you just tell them later. I mean, you shall not be moved. But one of those kids, all they have to do is somehow cry out in a very unusual way in a back room or someplace, or the sound of a thud or a crash outside, or like that earthquake the other day that moved a few places on the East Coast. I mean, something has to do. All that has to happen is something like that, and you're out of that chair. And you're right there in that position, whatever it is, taking care of it. It moved you. Noah was warned of God. And that warning so affected him that it moved him toward God. Now, sometimes people get moved away from God. Sometimes they have that wickedness down inside their heart that they say, how could God do this to me? How dare God do this to me? And all God's trying to do is reach down into your heart like those plagues in Egypt. To reach your soul. Has God ever moved you? Look at the third item here. He's warned of God. He's moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Now, I'm going to remind you, we don't need another ark. God's not going to destroy the world by a flood. We're not in the ark building business. Salvation is by grace through faith. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Salvation is through Jesus Christ. God said, I will build my church. I wondered, what preparations have you made for salvation? I witnessed to a fellow the other day, gave him a gospel tract. He didn't get saved, but he sure seemed happy that I took the time. Shook my hand. I mean, he just turned from being, you know, kind of cold to being very polite. I don't know. I run into a lot of folks in my family that are still trusting their baptism into the Catholic Church. We have a lot of folks that are working their way to heaven. And the trouble with working your way to heaven is you get this attitude that God owes you. Because you reckon that salvation is not of grace, but of debt. And God didn't have to go to Calvary. The Father didn't have to give His Son. Christ didn't have to shed His blood. But because He loved us, God gave His Son. Because Jesus loved us, He poured out His soul unto death. That means that He didn't count Himself any more important than He counted you. I just can't get a hold of it. Have you made preparation for salvation? A lot of folks working on everything else. But Christ finished it. And He asks us to turn from our dead works, repentance from dead works, faith toward God. And to put it another way, repentance toward God, that's the Father. faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You put them side by side, the first one's calling Jesus God. Have you made preparation for salvation? Notice what happens because of that. It says, by the which he condemned the world. It's interesting to me that that before we're saved, we don't seem to mind confronting everybody and anybody about anything. I mean, you get mad over something at a drop of a hat, and, you know, fight over whatever. But somehow, sometimes we just kind of don't want to offend anybody. And the reality is, by faith in Jesus Christ, you're going in the opposite direction of the rest of the world. If you picture a crowd of people coming out of a store and you turn around and go against that crowd, that's what you're doing. Just the simple fact that you have accepted Jesus Christ, you have told every other religion and every other philosophy that they're wrong. And the thing is, we need to let that confrontation take place, because otherwise there'll be no conviction. In other words, God wants to warn somebody else. Like he warned you. And you're the witness, you're the testimony that's going to allow that to take place by your godly life. We've got a family reunion. My wife's got a family reunion coming up for too long. I think about some of the family reunions I've been to as a child. And I tell you, you don't have to put a sign on your chest or your back and walk in and say, I believe in Jesus Christ. All you have to do is show up. And they know where you stand. They know why you're late, because you weren't there, you know, during church service. Amen. They know why you're leaving early, because of, you know, where you're going for Sunday night service. The reality is that the best witness we can be is just do what we know is right. Let our good works shine before men, that they might see them and glorify our Father which is in Christ Jesus. Let your light shine. I know in the workplace we can't be too confrontational. At least I understand that. I've been told that. But I know enough folk who just put tracts on their desk or around their workbench and let somebody come up and say, what's that? And then you got an open door. You still bow your head to pray. Amen. You still let folks know when your church service is and where your church service is. Amen. But most importantly, we let them know Jesus saved. Noah condemned the world. Let's not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And something else transpired in this cycle. Because he was warned of God and moved by God and prepared for his salvation through faith in God's Word. And that's what we do. In Jesus Christ. He condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Do you know you have an inheritance? In Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm going to get a glorified body. Every child of God is going to have a glorified body. Every child of God has a mansion in that new Jerusalem. I don't understand that. I don't know exactly what it's going to be like, but I'm sure I'm going to enjoy it. Amen. I appreciate the motel accommodations, amen, these last few days, but it's going to be nothing like what we get in the new Jerusalem.
Amen.
And every child of God is going to have access to the Lord Jesus Christ. So shall we ever be with the Lord. The Old Testament says so eloquently what Hebrews records about Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Have you found grace in the eyes of the Lord? Preacher, you come.